2FM.
Now, before we talk hurling, let us go back to Tallaght Stadium and join Shane Dawson and we get confirmation of the team news.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Half seven kickoff here. So what, we're just under an hour away from kickoff in Tallaght Stadium. The crowd slowly trickling in. Fine evening for a game of football. A bit breezy, but sure, we'll contend with the cold. Team news is Courtney Brosnan in goal, as is expected. Now, if you were to believe the UEFA team news, Ireland are playing with a 3-5-2, which is highly unlikely. But the defenders are, anyway, Aoife Mannion, Anna Patton, Megan Campbell and Katie McCabe. If she does play in that left wing-back role, UEFA have her playing up top, which may be a bit aspirational and unrealistic. Risha Littlejohn and Denise O'Sullivan in midfield, as are Lucy Quinn, Marissa Shiva and Heather Payne, and Kira Caruso will lead the line up top. Wait and see who will be playing off Kira Caruso. Alan Colley and Maeve DeBurka will be with me for expert analysis throughout the evening. We are with you all the way until 10 o'clock here on 2FM. Sue Ronan is on commentary alongside John Kenny. We cannot wait. UEFA Nations League is back. Tallaght Stadium football. It's Ireland against Turkey coming up very shortly, Alan, or Andrew, I should say.
That's quite all right. I've been called worse even today. Shane, are you suggesting there could be a Ruben Amorim formation from Miss Ward?
Possibly. Hopefully it's not a Ruben Amorim performance with respect to Manchester United of late. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see if she does stick with a back four, if it is three centre-halves and the wing-back, because there was a lot of talk around where Katie McCabe will play. Carla Ward has hinted at it might be a bit more of an advanced role, but does an advanced role mean that it's a left wing-back as opposed to a traditional left full? Littlejohn and O'Sullivan might be our holding midfielders, because you're looking at Quinn, Shiva and Payne. They are a bit more attack minded. Having said that, the caveat is Heather Payne could possibly play in a wing back role as well. So what we know for sure is Courtney Brosnan will be in goal and Kira Caruso will lead the line. What happens in between is a wait and see. I might pick the brain of Alan Colley and Maeve DeBurka very shortly, because I think their expert opinions will certainly be needed this evening.
Brilliant, Shane, and I look forward to that. Right, let us crack on with the National Hurling League, and plenty of action. I'm glad to say, delighted to say, I'm joined by Shane McGrath. Happy Friday to you, Shane.
Many happy returns, Andrew.
Thank you very much. Another fantastic weekend of hurling to look forward to. Again, like Brendan, I'm going to try and do it chronologically today to make some sense of the divisions, even though you probably want to start with Kilkenny and Limerick. We will start, of course, with Tipperary and Cork, throwing in tomorrow at 7:30 in the FPD Semple Stadium. And, I mean, it's all set up. Tipperary leading the way and on 4 points, and Cork just on 3 points in Division 1A. There won't be too much between them.
No, there won't. I'd say there'll be a good bit of hurt maybe there with the Tip lads. You know, listen to what's been said or not said during the week, Andrew, in regards to the last time Cork came to Simple Stadium. They gave Tip the biggest beating ever, in the history of the two teams meeting in the Hurling Championship. So I think that has to be a factor for them, and I'm sure it maybe has been mentioned. Like, I suppose, what could you do? You can't do much about the past, but they're in the now, like, and what they can do something now about it, maybe even a bit of, you know, for them as a group as well, like, you know, that I'm sure that hurt a lot of them last year, Andrew. Like, I was there as well. It felt like it was a home game for Cork. So while this is the league and it's round four, you know, you're looking for one percenters to try and drive a group on, and I think that will be a big one for them. And, you know, they haven't made too many changes from last few games. Even, you know, I was in at the Gaelic Grounds a couple of weeks ago, and only two changes from that team. Like, Joe Caesar is in and Jason Ford is in for Seamus Kendi and Darragh Stakelam. And I suppose Seamus Kendi and Darragh Stakelam are losing out in the fact that the two lads they were marking nearly got man of the match that day. So, you know, he's sticking with the lads that he feels are doing the business for him, and I think they're going to really go at this. Like, Tip are off next week as well, Andrew, whether or not people realise that they have a break week. Like, so I think Tip are going to really go at this. And like, Cork have 5 changes made, you know, between Padraig Power got injured there. So Owen Downey's in, Micheál Mullins is in, wing back, Robbie O'Flynn is in, Robbie Cotter and Jack O'Connor. So, you know, they're still fairly strong, albeit, you know, they're still with, I suppose, marquee guys like Jamie Harnedy, Sean O'Donoghue, Mark Coleman, Robert Downey. So, but I just think at home, Tip, the hurt that was there from what happened in the championship last year, what Liam Cahill is trying to do this year, he said lads that are going well are getting the jerseys and they'll get to hold on to the jerseys, and if you want the jersey off them, you'll get your chance, and if you take it, well and good. But But all that being said, I really think that Tip are going to win this game tomorrow night in Thurles. So now I have to say, Andrew, that's not the biggest thing on in Thurles tomorrow night. The Tipperary Masters Hurling Champions, All-Ireland Champions from 2024, are getting their medals in Lar Corbett's Bar, Crokes. So that's actually the main event in Thurles tomorrow night, just to let people know.
I'd say there might be some refreshments at that, would there?
Yeah, there will be some refreshments. There will be some over 40 my waddy served.
Very good, very good. Well sidestepped. Sunday afternoon, there's a two counties that have started. I suppose a slow start is probably an understatement now for Clare and Wexford, but a tip off in Ennis is a 1:45 on Sunday in Cusick Park. And I mean, there, it has been a slow start. I suppose you'd fancy Clare a little bit more to get the season started with a win tomorrow or on Sunday.
Yeah, bottom of the table clash, Andrew, there. So Sunday, so. But look, I just think you've both groups there in Clare and Wexford. Brian Lowen, the manager, Clare and Keith Rossler, the manager of Wexford. They're both decimated at the moment with injury. And like to give you an indication where Clare are at, Clare had to use 10 lads were involved in the Galway game in Saltill a couple of weeks ago. 10 of them who weren't even on the match day panel for the All-Ireland final, let alone the team, they weren't even on the panel. So that's how far they're gone down into their panel, their group at the moment, to try and get even bodies out in the field. Wexford, not as bad, but you know, between lads retiring and one thing or another, and lads not back yet, the likes of Lee Chin and these lads, they've been fairly decimated as well. So I think, for me, look, I think Wexford are nearly half kind of resigned to the fact maybe that they probably are going to end up getting relegated. Like, it's hard to see them. Like, say they're playing Clare away, they'll be playing Galway the following week, and realistically, their fate could be gone out of their hands even by the time that Galway game is over next week. So I think what Keith Rossler is looking for is just an improvement in performance. And what do I mean by improvement in performance? Like, they didn't score from play in the first half against Kilkenny the last day. They didn't score from play. They scored 4 points from frees. Their two of them were scored by their goalkeeper. So if you didn't have much else to say to the group apart from what happened in the first half against Kilkenny, because they came out, you know, and they gave it everything in the second half, but the game was done. And I think those kind of things alone, just a bit more passion in the thing, a bit more heart, an improvement in the standards that the Wexford lads have. It all being said, I still think Clare will have too much room. I'd imagine they're going to get more bodies back because Brian Lowen's going to want to get a bit of time into the legs of the, you know, I suppose the top guys. We see Tony Kelly coming on the last day. So they're at home. They haven't had a win yet. They know they need to get a win on the board as well. So all those factors with on in Ennis, Clare getting a few more bodies back, and just where Wexford are at the moment, I couldn't see anything but a Clare win there on Sunday, Andrew.
On paper, the biggest game of the weekend is in Nolan Park at 1:45 on Sunday. Kilkenny up against Limerick. Limerick unbeaten after just two games, and Kilkenny have been beaten already, but Derek Ling's side have looked impressive in the two games they won.
Yeah, I suppose, like, they have their two wins. They've done well with their two wins. Again, they played Clare down in Ennis. Clare fairly decimated, as we said, and they were even nearly more decimated that day. And, you know, the last day I was actually down in Nolan Park when they played Galway. And I suppose, you know, normally Kilkenny at home, Andrew, they're just a force and there's a fear factor with them. So when they didn't win that day and they took the lead in the second half, that's obviously something that will be talked about in their group as well, and they'll want to drive it on. And you know, they were very impressive against Wexford, but I said Wexford just not showing up at the moment. So look, I just think of looking at Kilkenny, right, and maybe people mightn't agree with me at all here, I just think maybe they're just not the Kilkenny of old, and there's no,
and is it the rootlessness or the lack of rootlessness, Shane?
I just think it's like when you have the greatest group of players maybe ever in one group to play hurling. Limerick are close now. They're not far off it. Maybe they are even better. It's a good argument to have. But I just think like that when you look at their forward line now, and if you're the opposition, you go, right, need to shut down Massey Keown. We need to shut down Owen Cody. And then the other three or four, you're like, well, I think we'll have guys to do a job there. Whereas before with Kilkenny, you'd go, right, if the six lads don't do it, they might bring on Taggy Fogarty, Wally Walsh. They might bring on Richie Power if he wasn't fully right or coming back from injury. Maybe TJ was coming in. Now, that's a good while ago now, and obviously it's been a while since they went on All-Ireland, but I'm just saying they don't have that same maybe impact, that fear factor that used to be there before. And like I think teams sense that with them now. And look, they've won five in a row, Leinsters. They're unbelievable. They've been involved in two of the last three All-Ireland finals. That's just the standards they have, but I just don't think they're the same force as what they were. And even if you look who has to come back, right, John Donnelly will be back soon, Owen Murphy back in the goals, Adrian Mullen, Tommy Walsh, Richie Reid, and obviously TJ will be in. But like, if they're still wanting TJ to be their main guy after everything he's done, they're just maybe lacking, they're just maybe not right fully there to be really, really big All-Ireland contenders. And look, I could be eating my hat by the end of the year, but I just don't see it in them at the moment. Like, Massey Keown's their top scorer with 212 from play. And like, if it's not happening for him or he gets shut down, who else do they look to, is what I'm trying to say. And if you look at Limerick, like, I'll be honest with you, Andrew, I think Limerick's biggest job this year could be when John Kiely and Co and Paul Kinnock and the management sit down and say, Les, what's the team going to be? Because I was in the Gaelic grounds last week, and while Tip did very well, we had to have a reality check walking out of it to say, like, Limerick are missing 10 lads there that could be starting in the championship. Like, you're talking about the likes of Sean Finn, Mike Casey, Barry Nash. You're talking about the likes maybe two out of the three of them maybe not making their championship full-back team.
Are you disappointed with the quality of hurling so far in the Division 1A? Or is it just normal for this time of year?
I actually think it's been actually one of the better starts to the league because of the bit of jeopardy there with the two teams getting relegated, and you know, teams are trying to find their feet as well. You know, lads trying to get chances. I think as games go, I think we've seen some great games. I thought the Tip-Limerick game was a great game. I thought the Limerick-Cork game was a great game. I thought Kilkenny-Galway was a really good game. And even what's going on in 1B, I think, is very exciting. So haven't been disappointed at all. I'm just saying, you know, we just have to be realistic about it, that when the stronger teams get everybody back, they will still be the stronger teams, like.
Okay, we're running out of time briefly. Wanted to touch on that top of the table game in Division 1B. Dublin up against Offaly in Croke Park. That's tomorrow evening with a 5 o'clock throw-in. It'll be pretty... it'll be 5:15, I've just been told, actually. Sorry about that. That'll be tough. And I mean, the Dubs have been in flying form, but so have Offaly this season so far.
They have, absolutely, yeah. They're both top of the table there. Offaly are in great form. They had a great victory against Antrim. You know, basically hammered them. Like, there's no point in saying that, Nelson. But Dublin, I suppose, gave them a similar beating earlier on in the year. So, Offaly are top of the table, I suppose, just people realise that they have an extra game played in Dublin. So, what I really like about Dublin is that loads of new guys are getting a chance. They're playing their matches in Croke Park. Like, that's where their championship matches are probably most likely going to be on. You know, that's a sign of intent from the group as well, that, you know, we want to play in this big stadium. We're not afraid to play in this big field. And Neil O'Callaghan, as everyone knows, with Nafina and what he did with them, he was saying that, you know, the likes of the Nafina lads, they'll be back in the panel now, but they've three games in the next 15 days. But you know what? It's ideal prep. That's what's going to happen in the Leinster Championship. And if teams are giving out about this now in the league, like, realistically, this is the way the championship is now. You're going to have two, three games in the space of 3 weeks, 15 days. So I think it's great prep for them. Where do I see this match going? I think Dublin, with the rest they got and everything, and being in Croke Park and just seeing what they're about so far this year, they're a different animal this year. And I think in Croke Park as well, get a bit of home support behind them before by the time the football crowd come in as well there, Andrew. So I think Offaly are in great form. I just think Dublin might have too much from this weekend. And as I said, I think 1B is the league where all the excitement's going to be come round 6 or 7 in the hurling. Like,
Shane, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thank you for that.
RTE 2FM. Comedy on 2FM.
I'm John Bishop, and I can't believe I've been doing stand-up comedy for 25 years. To celebrate, I've got a new arena tour in 2025.
John Bishop, 25 years of stand-up. Live at 3 Arena, Friday, October 31st, and SSE Arena, Saturday, November 1st. Tickets available now. Presented by Aiken Promotions.
Comedy on 2FM.
The infection felt terrible. I just wasn't getting better. I was breathing fast and I felt confused. I had shivers and pain through my body. I was drinking water, but I wasn't peeing. I felt like I was going to die. In the hospital, they said I had sepsis, and it's urgent.
Sepsis can hide behind any infection at any age, so watch out for the signs. Visit hse.ie/sepsis for more information. And don't be afraid to ask the question, could it be sepsis? From the HSE.
Harvey Norman, your sleep specialists. For a limited time only, discover value deals across our range of motion bases, motion mattresses, and bedroom ranges. Experience pure relaxation with our motion bases starting from $1099. Enjoy 20% off motion compatible mattresses when you purchase a motion base. 3 for $2 on selected bedroom ranges, a deal you won't want to miss. Plus, buy one, get one free on selected towels. With up to 36 months interest-free finance available, why wait? Harvey Norman, your sleep specialist.
Minimum spend, terms and conditions apply. See in store for details.
Ní aon tú nóméid dit féin agus do bhaigh bre. Dénig tú gach rud is féidir con aro húrta danvahe agus con a chintú go dhúchigh siad slán. Ach, an bhfuil a chóchna dhéanamh agus con a chintú go dhúchigh tú féin slán as. Bís an ardalé gónaí timpil biostic agus cynnig sa bhálta ir a hantésúr brethe seo. Fáid tíla ólis ag hsa.ie/farmsafety. Arnahort Coat ag Realtas na Héireann.
How do you sum up 150 years of history? It's not just the thousands of caps earned, games played, or points on the scoreboard. It's not just 25 years of the Six Nations, the countless metres made or seconds on the clock. It's the power of everything combined into one. Now, let's make it count.
Sit back and suck it in.
The Guinness Six Nations, Wales versus Ireland, Saturday on RTE Radio 1.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back to Game On. It is about 12 minutes to 7, and after 7 o'clock, of course, we will be in Tallaght Stadium for full coverage of the UEFA Women's Nations League Group B2 clash between the Republic of Ireland and Turkey. And on our panel tonight is Alan Cawley in Tallaght Stadium, and we're going to bring in Alan now to talk about Champions League draws, the League of Ireland, and all of the rest of the soccer stories that we want to talk about this evening, apart from that all-important game between the Republic of Ireland and Turkey. Alan, happy Friday yet again.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you?
Good, good. Let's talk about this Champions League draw before we get on to the League of Ireland stuff. Briefly, Liverpool up against Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16 in the Champions League. Liverpool away in the first leg will probably suit them.
I think it will suit them being away in the first leg, but a tough game, Andrew. To be fair, you look at all the ties today, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich as well, against Bayer Leverkusen. I think there's a really, really three or four tasty ties for us all to view over the next coming weeks. And this is what you get in the Champions League when we get to the business end. I know it's probably been a long process. Some people have commented on the format, whether it's good or bad. I've enjoyed it, to be honest with you, Andrew. But now we are down to the business end. And it's a place where I love to be after Christmas watching these games because they are phenomenal. When you look at, I suppose, the demolition job Real Madrid did on Man City during the week, they'll be tough to beat, even though they have a tough game against Atletico. But I do think Liverpool will overcome PSG over two legs, but I think it's a tough tie. They could have had an easier one at this stage.
PSG looked better this year than they did last year with Mbappe last year, obviously without him this year. But as a team, they look sort of more cohesive and they seem stronger all over the pitch.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment, Andrew. They've obviously a very good manager in Enrique, and maybe the shackles have come off some of the other players and it's freed up a few of them with Mbappe gone, because sometimes when you have one major kingpin in the team, sometimes it leaves restrictions on others. But now there's been a freedom, I suppose, put on some of the other players, and they've expressed themselves in that. Dembele, probably most of all, he's always had the ability, but sometimes he flatters to deceive, but he's been in great form. Barcola as well. So they have some serious talent, and I think, as you says, the biggest strength that they have going forward now, I feel, what they haven't had in the last probably 3 or 4 years is that cohesive unit, and they look more united as a team rather than just relying on one or two individuals.
And Arsenal paired with PSV Eindhoven, and Eindhoven have just seen off Juventus. Aston Villa taking on Club Brugge, who've just beaten Atalanta, the Europa League reigning champions. So not easy for Arsenal or Aston Villa.
No, tough games, because funny enough, Andrew, I watched Club Brugge against Atalanta over the two legs. I actually ended up, because I'm nearly sure one of them was the early game. So I've seen Club Brugge, and they were very, very good. I actually fancied Atalanta in the second leg because I thought Atalanta didn't give them enough respect in the first leg, and I thought they'd do them in the second leg. But Club Brugge were fantastic the other night and deserved a victory over the two legs. So that'll be a tough game. And I watched Juventus against Inter Milan last Sunday night, and for the first time, I felt Juventus were getting back to the levels I suppose, of yesteryear and coming back to being a strong major force, not only in the Serie A but in Europe as well. And I fancied them to go through against PSV, but I was wrong on both occasions. But they will be tough games for Arsenal and Aston Villa. Villa were decent enough against Liverpool the other night. Obviously a brilliant manager. They've strengthened in the window there in January as well. Very good team. You would expect the English teams to come through, but difficult ties as well, Andrew.
And speaking about English teams to come through, would you have the same faith in Manchester United beating Real Sociedad in the Europa League? And Spurs would probably get through AZ Alkmaar?
Yeah, the Spurs one's an interesting one for me because, of course, all eyes focus on Troy Parrott and him going back to Spurs, and he's been a revelation since he's gone over. So that'll be a really interesting one for all us to view and to watch. And, of course, Spurs so inconsistent, and all the debate and the narrative around Postecoglou, which has been ongoing all year. So I do think they'll get through it, but I think it's a tough tie. United, on the other hand, Andrew, no faith whatsoever. I'm sorry, Real Sociedad will beat them. Very good team, and I think they will beat them over the two legs. Whether it's one leg, two legs, I don't think Man United have much of a chance against them.
In the Conference League, of course, no Shamrock Rovers. We'll talk about that in a second. But Chelsea should have well enough in the tank to beat FC Copenhagen.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chelsea should go all the way and win this competition now, Andrew, being honest, when they're probably too good for this level of competition. We've seen Shamrock Rovers last night, and we will touch on it, but that's more for, I suppose, the likes of our league and smaller leagues around Europe, not for the likes of Chelsea. I suppose, look at the quality and resources that they have at their disposal. So I'd be shocked if they, not only they'll beat Copenhagen, but I'd be shocked if they don't go on and win the whole thing out.
Okay, let us cross to the most important league in the world. That is, of course, the League of Ireland. Waterford and Shelburne, two victories after round one. And Shells, they had it probably easier than they expected against Derry last week, but Waterford will be tough tonight. Oh, we've broken.
Brilliant occasion, yep. Andrew, but Derry just never put up any resistance whatsoever. Now, in fairness to Shelburne, Shelburne blew them away in the opening 20-25 minutes with their performance, but I was so disappointed with Derry. And the game was over at half time, regardless of whether the lights went off or not. The game was over. The lights were out for Derry after about 20 minutes. But when you look at the game tonight, you get Waterford coming into it with a bit of confidence, a good away victory in Sligo. The road they're looking a little bit in the second half. Sligo Rovers probably should have got a point out of it. They had loads of shots on target, loads of chances, but they just couldn't get that equalising goal. So it was a good result for Waterford, but I'd be expecting Shelburne to go down to Waterford. Now, depending on conditions, that might impact the game, but I'd be expecting Shelburne to go down there and win tonight. And I do think Shelburne will be banged there come the end of the season. I've been so impressed. I've only seen them twice now with the President's Cup and last week, but I think they'll be banged there again this year, Andrew.
Now, the lights will stay on at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. I have been reassured. Will Bowes get their second win?
Yeah, well, Derry don't want the lights going out again in 2 weeks on the trot for them, Shane, so they'll need a better response and a better performance from what we've seen last week, because they were very, very poor. And I actually felt at the start of the season, because of a couple of the signings that Tiernan Lynch made, that they'd put up a good fist of it this year, Derry, because they've brought in a lot of experience, which I thought would help them. But I was so disappointed with them last week. And it was two players who've been with them. One was out on loan last year for large spells, but the other was the captain, and they were the ones that let them down massively, and Mark Connolly and Sam Todd. So it'll be interesting to see if he'll go with the same lineup again tonight. I think he'll have to make changes. But Bohemians coming off the back of a brilliant victory in the Aviva Stadium on Sunday, beating Shamrock Rovers, just what their season needed. Get off to a good start. Tough game away again tonight, but they've a little bit of momentum behind them, and on paper they look very good, not only on the grass last Sunday. I think they've a good team, Bohemians, a team that can get them high up the table this year, and I think they could get the job done, which would be a massive statement if they were to beat Shamrock Rovers the opening week and then to go to the Brandywell and beat them as well. It would be huge for Bohemians.
And in a word, very briefly, Alan, Galway United hosting St. Pat's, both still unbeaten.
St. Patrick's Athletic.
Yes, St. Patrick's Athletic. Yes.
You asked me for a word, Andrew. You should know me well enough by now, Andrew.
That's fine. That's enough. Alan, we'll talk to you after seven. And of course, Republic of Ireland and Turkey coming up at 7:30. And we'll speak to all the panel there at the moment. But let us cross to racing now. And a busy weekend ahead of us as well. Owen Ward joins us. Happy Friday to you, Owen.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Good, good. I have to keep the whip out now because we're into the final two furlongs of the programme, and we're closing in. So the Bobby Joe Chase at Fairyhouse taking centre stage over the weekend, and it should give us plenty of clues towards the Grand National.
Yeah, I can't believe we're already talking about horses having their final run before the Grand National. The season absolutely flying by, but it's obviously a great trial for the Grand National. We know Aya Maximus won it last year en route to his Aintree success, but really it's a great race in its own right. I'd say arguably tomorrow's race is one of the strongest renewals for quite a while, because you've obviously got last year's winner Aya Maximus back again, but he's up against an improving stablemate in Nick Rocket. He comes here fresh from winning the Thaestes at Gorn. His trainer Willie Mullins, he was talking about potentially supplementing him for the Gold Cup after it. You know, that's the calibre of horse that he could be, and the conditions of the Bobby Joe tomorrow mean that he's carrying 12 pounds less than Aya Maximus. So although Aya Maximus has a good record around Ferriers, I think it could be at Nick Rocket's day tomorrow.
And the second favourite for the Mayor's Chase at Cheltenham is Bioluminescence. Yeah, easy to say. And she is running tomorrow as well at the 4:35.
Yeah, the Colreevy Mayor's Chase, it's a race transferred from Thurles, a cancelled card during the week. But Bioluminescence, really interesting to see Gavin Cromwell, her trainer, deciding to get another runner into her so close to Cheltenham, because she's only had the two runs over fences. She's still a novice, and she's going to have to take on more experienced rivals when it comes to the festival in just over 2.5 weeks' time. So he's going to get another run into her tomorrow. Some more match practice after a good run behind Dancing City last time. But this is far from a penalty kick from her, because Willie Mullins has Spindleberry in the lineup. She's a horse who was placed in a Grade 1 last season, so I'll be expecting her to put it up to Bioluminescence, but I think Gavin Cromwell's mare, she should still have the edge.
And further afield, Jessica Harrington's Ashdale Bob in action at Kempton tomorrow, and also some Aidan and Joseph O'Brien runners on the very valuable Saudi Cup card in Riyadh.
Yeah, Ashdale Bob, probably one of the more noble Irish contenders over in England tomorrow. Jessica Harrington sending him over to the Pendle over in Kempton. He's a horse that so often came up second best in staying hurdles, but since going over fences during the summer, he's won two in a row. But I think this test over Kempton, over 2.5 miles, might not be just exactly what he wants coming up against the likes of Rubo. Also at Newcastle in the Eider Chase, History of Fashion, and Bodis Adava, two good Irish runners in that marathon test. But you mentioned over in the Saudi Cup, $38 million up for grabs at that fixture. The Saudi Cup itself is worth $20 million. The Irish interest, it's on the undercard. Aidan and Joseph O'Brien have four runners between them. Continuous, probably Aidan O'Brien's big hope in the Red Sea Turf Handicap. It's a race the stable won 12 months ago with Tower of London. Joseph's best chance, probably in the Neom Turf Cup. Al Rifa, a horse that was quite fancied for the Arc back in October. Never able to get involved over in Paris, but he's down in grade. He comes back up against a Japanese horse, Shin Emperor, who finished behind him in Longchamp. And in that race, you've also got Alex Ferguson's Spirit Dancer, a horse who won that race 12 months ago. So the Irish O'Briens hoping to get some of the Saudi dollars.
And not quite 38 million on offer in Nice on Sunday. There is an eight race card though there with three Grade 3 races. What are you looking forward to briefly?
Yeah, I suppose Bacchanalian is one that horse that impressed me. Loved his attitude when he won around Nace earlier in the month. He should love the testing ground that they're going to have on Sunday. He runs in the winning Fair Juvenile. Blood Destiny is probably the big star of the day. He was dueling with Spillane's Terror all of last season, but he's back down to 2 miles, heavy ground. He loved that in the Flying Bolt Novices Chase this time last year. Expect him to win the Newlands Chase, but disappointing that of the three Grade 3 races on the card, only five runners in each of them.
Owen, thank you very much. Enjoy the weekend and we'll speak to you soon. So that is all for this hour of Game On. After the news, we'll hear from Ireland rugby captain Dan Sheehan, and we'll do our full build up to the big match, Ireland versus Turkey.
RTE 2FM.